I want to give you, this is kind of a one of those preventive maintenance sermons. I want to give you a kind of a step-by-step look at a congregation that's on the brink of division. The devil uses this tactic over and over and over again. And sadly, we should be able to see right through it, but we don't. And it happens over and over again. And what has prompted this sermon is I'm aware of a congregation that today may very well have horrible division because of some of the things that we'll talk about it. I'm talking in general terms as well. Just as I thought about how there's a downward step when it comes to these things, I think it would be helpful if we kind of see what the devil does and how we fall away from God. The first, and as a congregation, there becomes strife and division. And I've always appreciated Brother Ryan's prayer when he talks that there be no strife and division among us, that we would have peace, that there would not be any backbiting or devouring. And I'm thankful, and so I hope that that will continue always as a congregation. But I want us to understand some of the things that happen. The first thing that I see is there is a lack of respect for God. There's a lack of respect in honoring Him as the great I am. In Psalm 29, and in verse 2, the psalmist says, "Give unto the Lord the glory due to His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of His holiness." We come together because God wants us to come together, instructs us to come together. He calls us together to assemble as a unit to worship Him, to function together. And we respect Him and honor Him in our worship. But when that begins to wane, even in one individual, you can see a downward spiral, and sometimes rather quickly, to honor God and to worship God. We sing the song, "Strength and honor give to His holy name." And so we sing about honoring God and respecting God. And when we truly do respect God, we will very carefully, and I mean very carefully, consider when there is trouble among God's people. We'll think very carefully about that. When the people truly respect God, and when an individual doesn't respect God, does not honor Him, does not understand that He is the great I am, He is the Creator, when that is lost, then you've got the start of a problem. Because you won't carefully consider your actions, what you're doing. You'll get in, and where we're going to end up with this is we're going to show some progress, and then we're going to see all the sinful behavior that follows, and you'll recognize it very quickly. In the Old Testament, God instructed the Israelites, so He told His people, before taking Jericho, for example, go to Joshua 6 and verse 18. Before taking Jericho, God plainly told them, "Do not take from the accursed things of the city." They weren't to take anything. Any golden stuff was supposed to go into the treasury, to God's house. Outside of that, nothing was to be taken. And yet, you recall that Achan, one man, had no respect for God. And that's where it starts. He had no respect for God. He could claim he did all day. But notice what happened and how it's described in verse 18. "And you, by all means, abstain from the cursed thing, lest you become accursed when you take of the cursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it." You see, when you do not respect God, it causes problems for the whole. And the same is true in a congregation. what Achan did troubled all of Israel. It caused them to suffer defeat when they tried to take the next city. And it was a small city, the small city of Ai. And they had to figure out, well, what happened? And when they found out Achan was the one who had taken something, why would he do that? Especially when God's instructions were so very clear. Well, I can think that a reason would be you just kind of push God aside and don't have a respect for him. So when we begin presently, and you think about a congregation that sidesteps God's will and begins to focus all of its intention upon themselves and not God, that is disrespecting God. And it's a step towards division and strife. So that's the first place I would start with this lack of respect for God. But not only that, and I don't know how you separate the two really, there's a lack of respect for the Word of God. The Lord's church has suffered great division. One of the great divisions that took place was when the church divided over the use of an instrument in worship. And you read that history, and you've got people begging and pleading, saying, don't bring a piano in here. Don't do that. It's not authorized. And yet we've got quotes of people leaving and because the instrument's been brought. And there's that quote, play on. We don't care about any of this. We don't care what the scriptures have to say. We want this. And you don't respect the will of God. And in reality, the subject of do you use an instrument in worship is not a hard one. It really isn't. You have to be blind and really want to do your own thing to actually bring one in, because you can't find the New Testament church using an instrument. They're instructed very specifically to sing. I would think that if we're supposed to play, then all of us need to know how to play an instrument. Why would we? Because what we've done then is we're going to set the few up, and we declare it under all of our talents, using our talents. Well, that's the way the world thinks. So it's not really a hard subject when you think about how God instructs us through commands, through the examples that we find in the scriptures. What was the church doing? And yet people don't respect that. And then another major division took place over institutions, where you put something between. It's like we support directly from our treasury Ed Brand, and we support directly Bruce Hastings. Well, the church divided over men putting something between what we see biblically. You can't find in the scriptures, I can't turn to a passage, you cannot find where something is placed in the middle of that relationship, which the Bible, by the way, calls fellowship. We have fellowship with Ed Brand, we have fellowship with Bruce Hastings. But man said, no, we want to put a missionary society, or in benevolence, we want to put an orphan's home. We want to put something between the church and the need. And so it divided the church. It was a disrespect for God's word. And I have heard from the mouth of so many preachers over the years that came out of that. And one of the things that's very telling is as they were coming out of that, they went directly to, let's say, the elders where these things were taking place. And they sat down and they asked them questions. They actually almost, it sounds like, they begged them to say, you know, somebody's over here telling me we can't do this. Begging them, show me how in the scriptures I can tell them they're wrong. And they would just go, because they didn't know. And they didn't care. That's a blatant disregard for God's word. The Bible reveals the way funds are to be used in Christ's church. And it reveals the means by which it is delivered from one church to the other. And there is nothing in any scriptures that puts anything in between. But sadly, when members don't care, it brings about great division. And it did. So when you think about on a local level, when someone starts, or several, start laying aside God's word, then you've got another downward step towards strife and division. Another is a lack of respect for Jesus the King. And I wish that would understand this. And I believe we do. I'm speaking in generalities, but the church doesn't belong to you. It doesn't belong to me. It belongs to Christ. And therefore, you have to operate within the accord of His will. You have to, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. You have to stay within His parameters. You have to stay within His guidelines. You have to stay within His purpose for His church. His holiness, His likeness, it belongs to Him. He is the King. Jesus is the King of His kingdom. And so Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18 that He would build His church. I will build my church. So it belongs to Him. And if somebody wants to really understand what does Church of Christ mean, just say, we're trying to be the people that belong to Christ. The people that you can read about in the New Testament Scriptures. That's who we're trying to be. That's what we're trying to imitate, plain and simple. The first thing on our website is we are simply Christians, and it explains that. What does that mean? There's no anything before it. And then you've got Nick Woods, who brought that lesson on how little the word Christian is used and how many times the word disciples is used. And it's just, we belong to Christ. We follow Christ. We respect the King. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, and Tommy mentioned this around the table, Paul has gathered the Ephesian elders to him, and he says to feed the flock that is among them. And then he says, the church that was purchased with Jesus' blood. He bought it. He bought the church. He paid the price. It doesn't belong to me. But when I don't have a respect for that, and I start thinking about this is what I want, and this is what I think, and we don't really consider what do the Scriptures teach, then we've got a problem. It says in 28, the church of God which He purchased with His own blood. His own blood. And so it doesn't belong to me. How dare I view the Lord's church as something that I can and should have control over? It doesn't belong to me. And so division occurs when we do not respect this. And we've got a great example in 3 John. And I brought a lesson about Diotrephes not terribly long ago. But I want to take us back over there. Repetition and thinking about again is a good thing. Verse 9, 3 John. I wrote to the church. And just think about in light of what I said. I wrote to the church, the Apostle John. Selected by Jesus Christ, selected by Him, was His pupil for 3 years, is on the Isle of Patmos when the book of Revelation is written because he's been excommunicated there. Someone that had actually physically, as he starts his epistle off in 1 John chapter 1, he's touched, he's seen. Here's what he says. I wrote to the church. But Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. You got a man in a congregation that says, I'm in charge. You don't come in here unless I give you permission. Why? Because he loved the preeminence. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words, and not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren, and forbids those who wish to be wish to putting them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. Many congregations have been torn apart by men who love prominent positions. That was the scathing rebuke that Jesus the King gave to the Pharisees, didn't he? In Matthew chapter 23, look at that, Matthew 23. to think that this isn't repeated over and over again. In Matthew chapter 23 and verse 5, but all their works, speaking of the scribes and Pharisees, they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad, enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the best places at feasts, the best seats in the synagogue, greeting in the marketplace, and be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi. Here's Diotrephes, and that's him. He loves the preeminence. But do you know what Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18 says? You remember, we're talking about a lack of respect for Jesus the King, Jesus the Christ, the Anointed, the Messiah, the only begotten Son of God, sent to earth. He died, excellent thoughts around the table, by the way, and shed his blood, and he purchased us, his people. And so what does God say about that? Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18, very plain. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and that in all things he may have the preeminence. Now, who has the preeminence in that other congregation? Diotrephes. In fact, he loves it. He loves to have the preeminence. So when a member of Christ's church encroaches upon Christ's rule, you got trouble. You got trouble. Trouble is to follow. Nothing good is going to come when we encroach upon Christ and his rule. So you have to respect Christ the King. And then I thought, well, where do we stop? Again, closely related, but a lack of love for God. A lack of love for God. Mark chapter 12 and verse 30. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy strength, and thy mind. That's the first commandment. That's the great commandment. So how can I claim to love God, but then fail to keep his commandments? It doesn't work that way, does it? So what do you do with 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20? Because what we're doing is we're seeing a congregation. You remember I'm talking about a congregation that's starting to have this downward fall into strife and division because of a lack of respect for God, a lack of respect for his word, a lack of respect for Jesus the Christ, the head of the church, a lack of love for God. So what's going on? In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20, look what begins to happen. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? Well, there's your friction that begins to start. Oh, I love God, but I don't like that person over there. We got problems, and I don't like them. Conflict begins to grow. And John says, how can anyone claim to love God whom they have not seen? No man has seen God when he or she can't love fellow Christians whom they do see. He says, you got problems when this starts to occur. Your lack of love for God is seen in how you start dealing with other people. So now we're introducing what's beginning to take place. Now we're starting to see some friction building because we've laid aside God and Jesus and the parameters of the church and who it belongs to, which leads to a lack of love for Christ. I don't know how much plainer Jesus could be when he said in John 14, 15, all of us can quote this, if you love me, keep my commandments. How do you know if you love Jesus? You keep his commandments. Well, we've got somebody that's laying all that aside, doing things the way they want to do it, doing things maybe they want the preeminence. Maybe they want these things that we're talking about. They begin to lose sight of whose church it is. And so we've got a lack of love for God. We've got a lack of love for Christ. In John chapter 15 and verse 14, So 14:15, remember if you flip that around, 15:14 in the Gospel of John. How do you know if you're a friend of Jesus? Well, in verse 14, he says, "If you are my friends if you do whatever I command you." And I don't know if you remember it, but one of the first invitations I gave when I first moved here almost 9 years ago now was on that very point. I can't look at you and say, you're not going to be my friend unless you do everything I tell you to do. I wouldn't have any friends. Emily wouldn't be my friend for sure, right? She'd say, I'm no way. And you'd be right. Who would say, you are only being my friend if you do whatever? Jesus says, you are my friend if you do everything I command you to do. Now, why can he say that? Because he's God. He's the Son of God. He paid the price for your sins. He's the head of the church. He has the preeminence. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. He can say that. And so there's your test to find out, am I a friend of Jesus? Am I doing what he says? Well, if you continue to have a lack of love for Christ, well, what's going to happen? You're going to step down and down and down. Look at chapter 15 and verse 12. Back up. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Well, there's his commandment. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. He says you need to love your brethren. John chapter 17, he prays that that's exactly what they would do, so the world would know these are my people. And we're looking at a congregation that is going to show the world anything but that. So what's going on? What's going on is a lack of love for Christ and a hatred that's beginning to grow among the members. And people begin to pull one another to the side. And they begin to take sides. They begin to speak out. They begin to call out. And sadly, they even begin to shout. And this has been repeated over and over again. And this is the playbook. And we know it. And yet we just turn a blind eye. Why? Emotions take over. We become blinded to the way that we should treat one another. And so how quickly the head of the church is dishonored when division begins to rear its ugly head. And so I don't know how to know this. This is just my suspicion that most divisions that take place among God's people within Christ's church isn't even over doctrinal matters. It's not even over doctrinal matters. It's more of a matter of failure to respect and love God and think of others and not myself, to think only of myself. And when I do that, we've got a problem. And then we've got a lack of love for Christ's church. Again, Jesus said, I'll build my church. He purchased it with his own blood. It doesn't belong to me. So I have to walk carefully and not create problems among Christ's church. I need to lend my support to it and not cause it harm. And so the first part of the lesson, and you're thinking, first part, yes, part two is coming. But if you remember what I told you at the start, I said the things we're going to talk about next, you're going to find them very familiar, and you'll see what I'm talking about. The first part focuses on our attention on one's failure to really think about God. Really think about God and how this failure leads to division. I want you to go back to 3 John, and I want you to see again, what Diotrephes was doing and how it's described. I want you to see what's going on. What was Diotrephes thinking when he would not receive the Apostle John? What was this man thinking? I would say he's not thinking very clearly at all, and he's only thinking about himself. What was Diotrephes thinking when he was berating John and others in the church? Berating other members, verse 10. Do you know how the ESV, Susan, are you looking at yours? Talking wicked nonsense against us. talking wicked nonsense against us. What was he thinking when he was casting people out of the church? He won't let them come in. He's kicking them out, casting them out. That's verse 10. The church that didn't even belong to him. And he's kicking people out, running them off. Verse 11 says what Diotrephes was doing was evil. And the Apostle John said, don't imitate that. Imitate what's good. So here's a very clear picture of somebody who has lost all focus of what the Lord's church is, their part in the Lord's church. So when you lay all these things aside, a lack of respect for and lack of love, you know what you got? You're going to have sinful behavior, and you're going to have division. You're going to have false accusations. This is the culmination, by the way, that you'll recognize. These are the things we've been talking about in our Proverbs class. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time. But you got false accusations, which we've determined people are telling lies. This is the he said, she said phase, with accusations flying all over the place. I was recently told of a situation of an elder of three who was accusing the other two elders of always dismissing his suggestions or objections and going forward on their own. And that's what he went around telling the other members. When he was given numerous examples where this had not been the case, he was asked if he wanted to retract his accusation, and he said, no, I don't think so. Today, I want you to understand how real this is. Today, this church may split and divide, and things get really ugly because it's coming to a head today. Once again, I hope they don't. That's been my prayer for days. Whispering. We've been talking a lot about that, right? What happens? When all these things begin to lay aside, what happens? Sinful behavior follows. Alliances. The Bible speaks against whisperings. Members begin to whisper amongst themselves. And when we begin to do that, the divide grows bigger. And then what do you have? You got backbiting. A lot of things and devouring that's going on. It's exactly what it means. Behind somebody's back, you're devouring them. Galatians chapter 6 or 5 and verse 15. Turn over Galatians 5:15. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. And so what happens? That starts happening. He says the whole church is going to consume itself. There won't be anything left. And then you've got strife or discord. Proverbs 6 and verse 19. Six things, yea, seven, that are abomination to God. One who sows discord among the brethren. What do you think Diotrephes was doing? Pretty good description. You know what God abhors? Anybody that would do that. With all the whispering, backbiting going on, what's left? What's going to follow? Nothing less than strife and division. And Satan has done it yet again. And now there's division. And now there's unrest. And now there's hurt feelings. And on and on and on. Members leave for another nearby congregation. Or move up the road, start another one. All things have come together, and you have one great disaster, a great divide, and Satan has done it yet again. What do you think Satan and his angels do? They rejoice. And you know what the people in the neighborhood, I want you to think about this, what do the people in the neighborhood do? There goes another Church of Christ. So they don't understand these things. All they see is the Church of Christ is fighting again. And that's the taste we leave in people's mouths. This can be stopped if we heed the warnings. And so I leave you with one last thought, and that is that sometimes discipline is hard, but it's necessary. You have to catch it. You have to deal with it. You have to deal with it quickly. Reject a divisive man after the first and second admonition, knowing that such a person is warped and sinning, being self-condemned. When it starts, it's got to be shut down very quickly. What I've been talking about started when others were away. That's when it all started. Not even there to deal with it. What started before that? But it really was coming to head when one was left to be able to talk and talk and talk and nobody there to rebuke. Nobody to challenge. Nobody to speak the truth. So this is trying to stop the division before it gains traction. And it's better, sometimes we get caught up in numbers. And sometimes it's better to lose a few than the whole. There's a lot of congregations that would tell you when the problem was dealt with and the problem went away, we have been able to have peace, we've been able to flourish, we've been able to move forward because the problem was defeated. And peace can be restored rather quickly sometimes when that source of division is dealt with. And so we have to defeat Satan, and we have to know his schemes, his trickery, his craftiness, the things that he does. His schemes are like he throws these things out, and he does it, and we just fall into that trap again and again. And so this is one of, that should be obvious to all, but in the moment, here's the key, in the moment, we should be able to see it, but in the moment, to that downward fall, and the love of God wanes, and our self-centeredness kicks in, everything goes out the window, and it's far, far too late. My prayer is that God will continue to bless us here with peace and unity. If you're here this afternoon and you're not a Christian, we're going to extend an invitation. Again, Tommy has selected our invitation song. We hope that you'll consider very carefully your need for Jesus Christ, because he's the Savior. He's going to save you from your sins. But you must do your part. You must confess your belief in him, turn away from sin, be baptized to wash your sins away, and then continue your walk all the days of your life. Be faithful unto death. If you're a child of God and your faithfulness is waning, there's a discouragement or maybe there's sin, can we help you in any way as we stand and sing?